I also made the case for owning Bitcoin, the quintessence of scarcity premium. Scarcity premium. It's literally the only large tradable asset in the world that has a known fixed maximum supply. By its design, the total quantity of Bitcoins cannot exceed 21 million.
Bitcoin is the hardest money that has ever been invented.
If you don't have my private key, you cannot spend my Bitcoin, period. And this is the power of Bitcoin.
It's the first time we figured out how to create true property that you can take possession of with full custodial rights.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Talking to Bits. I think I forgot how to do this.
We're so back. We're so back. I don't even remember what to do. That's how back we are, Jose.
Well, you know, it's very expensive to podcast. The price is all-time high today. I promise we did not plan this for the all-time high. I mean, we did.
You didn't. I called it when we scheduled this.
Fair. Yeah. We just know we wanted to be back. And then the Satoshi, the Bitcoin gods, basically said, hey, man, on the day you're coming back, we're going to hit them at an all-time high.
Yeah, I got the call from the CEO, and he said put it on the calendar.
Yeah, he said Talking to Bits is back.
We back.
But what's going on, Kev? How's it going?
Hey, man, so good. You know, it's kind of funny when we kind of did a little bit of a pause, you know, focused on other things in our lives.
Yes, sir.
You know, a lot, it feels like it's been like a year, but you know, I'm checking my notes here and it's been barely 4 months.
Really? I thought it was a year as well.
Dude, it feels like an eternity, but that's just because we've been building.
We've been building.
And you know, all of that hard work gets rewarded with the Bitcoin CEO raising the price.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, you said this to me earlier today, we're not the crazy ones anymore.
We're not, man. And like, I'm not going to rub it in the face to those that said we were crazy. And I'm sure listeners of this show are Bitcoiners, so they've all been crazy as well. But yeah, man, I had a little 5 to 10 minutes this morning when I woke up and saw that 70K, even though the 70K only lasted like 10 minutes.
And yeah.
Then it just plummeted. But either way,
yeah.
Once I saw all-time high, I had this feeling of like, I guess the Nick Cage Con Air meme, right? Like I had like this like, like.
Just the flow, you know, blowing in the wind.
Yeah, man, because I could count so many people in my life and outside of my life, even down to the guy that helped me sell my house before I left Massachusetts or Taxachusetts.
Taxachusetts.
Yeah, he was like even saying like, you're a nut. Like I remember leaving my quote unquote safe and comfy operating room job and telling them that I'm going to go work at a Bitcoin company. And they were like, you'll be back. Like,
yeah.
You're a great worker, Jose. We can't wait for your application to come back through the door. And we always have a spot for us.
Did they really say that?
Not application, but they say, you'll always have a spot here. For
oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that basically means we're waiting to laugh at you, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we want you to come back.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, today was one of those days where I was just like, man, all those low time preference decisions. Don't get me wrong, we got a lot of work to do, and this game has just started to ramp up, right? But yeah, man, it's just that good feeling of like, I've never lost a single dollar with this decision.
Yeah. In fact, I've gained dollars and Bitcoin.
Yeah, 100%.
By changing careers into one that, you know, focuses on the people that are trying to move either the company forward or the industry forward.
Sure.
Just on all fronts, you know, loving what I do for a day job now. And it's funny, I had a similar experience telling my boss, you know, what I was going to do. It was, you know, I didn't even get an opinion.
Fiat boss.
Yeah, for those who haven't listened previously, I used to work inside of a big retail bank, and I told my boss what I was going to go do, and it was just kind of a blank stare in response, and just kind of like okay, and then on my last day, he called me and we were just kind of, you know, saying our goodbyes, our little Fiat goodbyes and all that. And
Fiat goodbyes. Yeah. That's
well,
funny.
I say Fiat goodbyes because it's insincere. You know, it was just, it's like, you know, it's so funny looking back. I feel the same way about it as I did on the day I left, where I was just a cog in the machine.
Yeah.
There was no sincerity behind, you know, hardly any of the interactions, you know, up the ladder, down the ladder, whatever. Like, the only ones that really mattered were kind of your peers.
Yep.
And even then, those were shallow at best at times. So, because everyone's, you know, chasing their own, you know, fiat mindset kind of, or they've got the fiat mindset and causing them to chase certain things and value that above other things. So, anywho, it's kind of funny. So you let me know, you call me if anything changes.
And I'm just like,
those words, just that last sentence.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of still rings in my head to this day. I'm like, yeah, shit ain't changed. It's, it's, well, actually it has changed, but it's for the better.
Yeah. I'll call you when I change the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have a feeling I won't be calling him. He may be calling me.
We'll see. You don't even know his number.
No, I don't. I don't know it. I have it still. I really don't. Yeah. I'm not good about deleting my numbers. So like, I'll see a name like, you know, just a random name in my phone, and I'm like, who the fuck is this?
Who the fuck is Johnny? Fiat or Johnny, that's what you gotta name him.
But yeah, it's a great feeling of satisfaction, you know, doing the round trip, right? You know, I came in to Unchained here in 2021, and now it's 2024, and it's a little bit early in the cycle, or if there is any more cycles to be had.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot different about now, like we just said, you know, hit a new high in dollars before the halving, and that's not happened before.
Sure.
And so, you know, looking forward to a lot of other first time sort of occurrences and events, and seeing what everyone's been building this bear market. I mean, it's been very active. You know, just tons of new companies or companies that have been around for just a couple years that are finally sort of hitting their stride and making big releases. Like, you know, I love talking about Ben the Carmen while we're in here because he works in the commons a lot, but like Mutiny just had a really big release, you know, their app in iOS, both app stores and you know, the whole progressive, they just do everything, it seems. And you get, you know, that's just one company out of so many that either start in Austin or incubate in Austin or grow in Austin. They transplant to Austin, like whatever, you know, there's plenty of other cities too that are building. And it's just really exciting to see the activity. And if you're not paying attention closely enough, you're going to miss it. There's so much building happening, and I want to, you know, use that opportunity to segue to this. I just could not get this out of my head. You know, the Economist loves talking about Bitcoin, despite how they seem to like rag on it each time as well. But this recent occurrence was, a screenshot floating around Twitter a lot. And there's a graph in it. It's called, the cockroach returns. It's been making its way around because they keep calling Bitcoin a cockroach. And I can't say that they're completely wrong in that characterization, in the sense that it just won't go away. And that's about where the analogy stops.
All I think about is Tony Montana just calling out the cockroaches. Yeah. That's all I think about, why he laid them out.
But it's so funny because they come in here and in this one little graphic is just so many things that are inaccurate. You know, it's the first sentence next to the graphic is Bitcoin has been in existence for 14 years. Economists apparently can't do math because it started in 2009. It's 2024 now. Last time I checked, 24 minus 9 is 15. So point off already, economists.
All right, they're close. everything's about being close nowadays.
And it says, yet it is now obvious that it is of pretty limited use for payments, as it is restricted by both the high cost and slow speed of transactions. Last time I checked, it was cheaper than a wire to send a Bitcoin transaction on average most of the time.
Yeah.
And when it's talking about slow speed, it's also the only one that has final settlement, you know, before 90 days, unlike credit card companies and other merchants and stuff. Like, those banks have not exchanged the cash reserves or whatever to settle the accounts for months after the transaction has occurred. And then it goes on to say, those trying to build applications on top of blockchains are not doing so using Bitcoin either. And I just found that hilarious.
Yeah.
Because this is just that age-old adage of like people saying, you know, you can't do anything with Bitcoin and no one's doing anything with Bitcoin. Yet we're here and we see all of these companies building all of these great applications to help you make the most out of your money, essentially. And and there's another, you know, tweet that has a graphic that is just kind of pretty astounding to see just the breadth of variety and just the numbers of companies that are out there, and they found their niche and they're building in it. And they're just growing and growing, and eventually it hits this shelling point where, you know, it's a really important application for people, and it performs a really valuable use. And so then this screenshot finishes up with the creation of ETFs. It is now clear that Bitcoin is an investment asset and nothing more. You know, it's actually a payments network and an asset. And yeah. So what if people allocate their money to it and use it as an investment vehicle?
Yeah.
People use all kinds of things to store wealth in because they can't use fiat currency to do that because it just melts away.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, economists, you got it, you know, 10% right. You know, it is kind of a cockroach, but everything else, you still ain't learned.
It's like, all right, well, I'm just going to be devil's advocate. They're right and they're wrong. They're they're mostly wrong.
Mostly.
100%.
Yeah.
But, like, I will say that, like, there is that internal battle in Bitcoin. And after this, I'm actually going to back up a little bit and talk about the show and what we want to build here. But to that point, it's just, like, we do have that internal conversation amongst Bitcoiners of Bitcoiners not wanting to spend their Bitcoin, which actually proves their point of it just being like a, you know, a store value.
A pet rock.
That's funny. Tapping the rock.
Yeah, you're petting it. It's you petting it.
Yeah, yeah. But like, so I agree with, it is a payments network. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked about it in the show. And here in Austin, we have the ability to pay the farmer and pay the barber and pay a bunch of people in Bitcoin. So we know that it can do that. But that technology is not, I think, at scale. I think nobody would disagree there. I've had payment Lightning transactions fail. I still do to this day. Not as often, but it does happen. Mm-hmm. And
I have. You ever had a credit card payment not go through for some unexplained reason?
To be honest, no.
Really?
No.
You are the only person I've ever met that has not gotten like the decline and like, okay, let me retry, and then it goes through.
I use my Apple Card pretty much exclusively, and it doesn't. I mean, I've been broke before, and I've had the...
That's a different kind of decline.
Yeah, I've had the you don't have enough money, buddy. Yeah. Like, I've had that happen before. But to be quite frank, I've never had the, like, hey, this ain't working, you know, do it one more time or whatever. And I also do a lot of... I do mostly tap and pay. So maybe like the physical wear and tear of the card also, that doesn't happen to me.
Yeah, a little magnetic strip or whatever.
Sure, yeah. But that's not my point. I'm not trying to like say fiat or credit cards are better than Bitcoin. Yeah. I'm just trying to say that to their credit, because they're naive and they don't do the digging, Bitcoiners do not want to spend their Bitcoin for the most part. Mm-hmm. And when they do, especially bigger transactions, like if I want to pay for a half a cow, let's just say that's $1,000, it's probably more than that. Mm-hmm. My Lightning transaction is probably not going to, you know, unless I have like a moon wallet. I know, guys. I'm sorry. I call it MUN. Either way, whatever. Unless you have a moon wallet, which is pretty much custodial, you won't really get that. Like maybe Strike will get it to go through, but that's because their channels are probably massive.
Huge, yeah.
I got beef with Strike.
Oh boy.
Y'all know this. But my point is that like you're right. We are built. They're wrong. You know, they are right here sitting outside of us. There's builders. You brought up Ben the Carmen and a few others. That's absolutely true. We could bring up Parker Zapright, John Zapright. Mm-hmm. We could bring up a bunch of people.
Yeah.
But we need to continue to build. And they're sort of right in the sense that, like, it needs to get to a point where, like, we're okay with spending Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are, but a lot of people are still not.
Right.
And sometimes it's not because I don't want to pay somebody in Bitcoin. Sometimes I just disregard my fiat so much that I'd rather not hold on to it.
I think
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No. And I think you're right there in that we're at this really awkward point. Like, you know, people make the analogy that Bitcoin's a teenager and it's about to start, you know, growing things in weird places and all this stuff. And it's just, it's kind of this, we're back to a chicken and egg thing where, you know, okay, well, how do we get people to spend Bitcoin? Well, they don't want to because it's the most valuable thing they have.
Right.
So why would you decrease that before decreasing literally everything else in your life?
Right.
That's why everybody makes a joke about selling chairs, right?
Right.
Because, like, I value my Bitcoin more than my chair, and my chair is the last thing I have, so it goes
Bingo.
First.
Bingo.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, I
poor chair.
Yeah, poor chairs. They get the butts all the time, man. You know, they're the butt of every joke.
Bitcoiners hate their chairs, bro.
But one of our colleagues said today, you know, I love that you bring up the whole, you know, the meat analogy. And he was saying, you know, like spending your Bitcoin before you spend things that are, you know, worth less to you than the Bitcoin is like taking meat out of the freezer to thaw when you already have meat in the fridge to eat.
Fair. That's a good one.
It's like, why would you do that? you know, with the intent of like, oh, I need to thaw this out to eat it. And it's like, but you're missing this one over here that is already ready for you.
Right.
You know, and so I think that you'll continue to see the hoarding of Bitcoins, you know, by these evil hoarders.
They just
want to hold on to their Bitcoin. Shame.
Yeah.
Shame on them. Just letting it rise in value and not doing anything with it. What a shame. You know, they should be spending it out there. You know, society should be able to reap the benefit of these people hoarding. And so that's, you know, that's one of those critiques. And I think it will continue until we get to a point where people don't demand fiat anymore.
Yeah.
And once that happens, then we're in acceleration mode again. And we're flying into the next phase of things where now where companies need to be to meet consumers is they need to have solutions for wallets. They need to have solutions for payments. They need to have all kinds of solutions. And speaking, you know, going back to, you know, no one's building any applications or anything on Bitcoin. You know, I was talking about this graphic I saw, and I'll show it to you. Eventually we'll get video in here and we'll see this, but like this whole entire computer screen is just filled with the logos of companies in various areas. You know, you've got everybody knows, well, not everybody, The Economist doesn't know about Lightning Network yet, but they'll learn. You know, that's up at the top. You've got all the different implementations from all the different companies up there. You've got Nodes Next and Liquidity Next, which is important for Lightning and Lightning payments. Then you've got the wallets, you've got the banking as a service, you've got merchant payment solutions, you've got other finance applications, and then you've got, you know, rewards and gift cards and, you know, ways to earn sats, you know, kind of in a micro transaction sort of way. You've got gaming, you got podcasting. We've talked ad nauseum about Podcast 2.0. This whole podcast is on Podcasting 2.0, so you can stream sats, you know, to us if you enjoy the content. Tons of social applications. Noster, right, is just took no time at all to integrate with Lightning. Lot of different services available. And then there's merchants that are already accepting Lightning payments. So, you know, people are taking Bitcoin as payment. People are building on Bitcoin, and it is 15 years old.
Yeah, and The Economist is stupid there in that regard. It's dumb to say nobody's building on it. There's definitely people building on it. But I want to take one step back, and I want to basically say, you're right, it's either to the point where people – two things have to happen. Your point, which is at the point where people stop asking for fiat, that's point number one. But this is a point that you and I have had a lot of talks about and we're super interested in, which is the sooner point, which is somebody needs to figure out a reliable way, I say that slowly because it's important, for me to be able to transfer instantaneously swap fiat into Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Because in the same example of like, why would I sell my Bitcoin if like, I want to pay the farmer for his hard work and hard money.
Yeah.
Right? So obviously if I have the cash available, I don't want that junk. So I'm going to hand it over to him so I can get the meat.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could find a reliable, because I know everybody's already, well, the strike and then this falls, and then this, a reliable way for me to turn my money instantly into Bitcoin so that I could pay him. Then in my mind, I'm getting rid of the dirty fiat and I'm doing two honorable things. I'm getting rid of the fiat and I'm paying him in hard money.
But see, that's the problem that we were just talking about is final settlement, right? Like fiat system takes 3 months to commit final settlement, to perform final settlement. So you got your Bitcoin company that is waiting on your dirty fiat. Unless you're handing the paper money to them and then they're putting it in their bank account, you know, it's taking time to get over, and then there's still this whole Reg E chargeback situation. Like
I'm going to keep saying it. Yeah. Reliable.
Reliable. But that's the thing. The fiat system is unreliable.
See, but this is the thing. I was able to do, and most people can still do this. I just quit. I tapped out on Strike. I was doing that with Strike when I first got to Austin religiously. Now it cost me a 1.5% to instantly fund with debit card. Yeah. But I was more than happy to pay the 1.5%.
For the instant.
To pay my barber right away.
Okay.
Because that's exactly what I was doing. When I first met my barber, shout out to Jalen.
That's your RBF on the fiat. So, you know, just I'll pay you extra, just make it fast. You know, like.
I guess so. But like to me, it was like I met him through the, and back to Builders, Oshi app. Shout out to Michael.
Yep.
I met him through the Oshi app because the barbershop he's working in was on the Oshi app and they accepted Bitcoin. Fun fact, out of the 9 barbers that were there, they all did the, accept him. And that's why he got chosen. And I used to pay him for my son and my's haircut religiously in Bitcoin. By the way, haircuts nowadays are $100, which is wild for both of us.
Dang, man, that barber was stacking. He's got $4, dude, you know, just from you.
But I never gave him my, let's just say, you know, cold storage Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. I never parted ways with my Bitcoin. Sure. What I did was I literally paid the 1.5%. Yeah. I loaded up Strike right away. I scanned his code and I send them sats, Lightning through Strike right away. 1.5% to be able to do those two honorable things. Get rid of fiat and pay somebody who works very hard, because barbers stand all day.
Yeah.
In order to get hard money and educate him on that process. The reason that I go back to reliable is because Strike would just wake up one day, other days, and be like, error, card, can't do it. And it's like, that's not reliable, because if I'm standing there in front of the bar, I'm going to look doofy.
Even when you're trying to do the instant thing.
And then you're right about the ACH thing. That's not going to work. No. Like, I can't wait 3.5 or...
Dude, ACH has been around as long as checkbooks have been around.
Like, if I was...
It's ancient.
If I was smart enough to, like, basically, like, reserve some dough on the side, then, yeah, that'll work, because then I'll just get it, like, direct deposited and just know this is my Bitcoin spending. But my spending and what I make and what I what goes in and what goes out is so volatile for me that I don't necessarily want to reserve a certain amount of money just for Bitcoin spending yet.
Got it.
So, like, fast forward.
So that's why your Lightning wallet is always empty.
What are you trying to say? I don't have Bitcoin, right?
No, I'm just trying to say it's all in cold storage, sir. It's not on hot keys.
I'm fucking with you. My Strike and my Fold are definitely bare.
Yeah. But that's layer one. Well, I'm sorry. Fold is layer one because they don't have Lightning yet. But,
fair.
Well, you can give them Lightning, but they won't give you Lightning.
But this is where, and I mean, unless you've tried it, I haven't tried it. And this is where we get Sahil here next time. We can talk about this. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder how much closer we are to reliable with Fold later.
I think Fold will do it. I think Fold seems like they've got 90% of the pieces and they want the last 10.
I want to see it.
I want to see it too.
I will sign up for Sahil, my yearly membership.
I told Sahil, I don't know why Sahil, he doesn't work at Fold. But, nah, but I told him, I was like, I'll flip my subscription button back on auto.
But the same reason that, what was it, like that LED bank or whatever? I forgot what it was. I'm butchering it. That bank that was actually on that same thing where like...
LVL. Yeah.
The same reason they were interesting is the same reason my interest in Fold has peaked again.
Yeah.
Because somebody who's trying to explore this, where like all my fiat goes there and then boom, 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 I can swap back and forth like whenever I want.
Right.
I'm very interested in that. Now, the other part of that is...
Level nailed that, man. They just didn't have Lightning yet. They would have had all the pieces had their...
And I think Fold can do it. Fold started as a Lightning company, which is... You used to pay those cards at Lightning, gift cards.
You used to have to. Yeah. They didn't have any other option.
Yeah. Not Lightning out, but Lightning in. You would have to pay for the gift cards with Lightning, but you couldn't send Lightning out.
Right. Yeah. It's still that same way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like
in that aspect of things, but they've got more, you know, other types of infrastructure. It's just like the ramps in and the ramps out are the hardest ones to do.
So right
and
now,
those like are coming last, it seems.
Okay. So right now, we're Fold. If I swap, like if I get it all in Bitcoin, I have to send on-chain payments. It's not Lightning.
When you withdraw?
No, like if I'm going to, because they're saying that you can just pay people in Bitcoin. You can use your money as Bitcoin.
The way that it works is you just do a sell in the app and it gives you the fiat balance right away.
Oh, but you can't actually send Bitcoin. You have to always send fiat, but you could hold Bitcoin.
I don't know, because the Bitcoin tab for me in Texas is not working.
So. Man, we gotta get some hair on.
I've seen Will Reeves. He did say March. It is March 8th. Will.
Look at Kev calling him out. It's usually me calling people out.
I will say I expect it March 15th, just because that seems, you know, they like even release days for things.
Yeah.
But I also recognize that it's not a function of that it is a function of another party. You know, there's the only thing that would really get in the way of you selling Bitcoin in Texas is an MTL. So, you know, that's pretty common knowledge at this point. So, like, I know that is not always, you don't know when that's coming in. It just shows up one day and you're like, okay, let's get the release ready and let's do this. And I'm sure they have everything just one button click away from turning the feature on. For Texas again, because they were here for a while.
And I'm sure if there's anybody in the world that can sympathize with how difficult that can be, is us two on the microphone now. Right. It's as a consumer, it's like, do it. But as you know, when you see the background, it's like, oh,
there's a lot.
They don't want you to do it.
There's a lot that goes into it, and yeah. they want it, but it's like when they see it's like climbing Everest every time.
Right, you know? Right. So back to like you know people parting ways that with their Bitcoin. I think we're getting close because mm-hmm. I have no problem turning fiat into Bitcoin to pay the rancher or to pay the barber or to pay anybody that's worth it. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm buying a PlayStation, they're gonna get fiat.
Yeah.
Like if I'm buying right, like it, this is where we get to determine what's
unless
actually
it's
valuable.
Like P2P. Right, unless it's like garage sale situation.
Not really, because like, well, I think it gets to the point where I'll pay everybody in Bitcoin. That's fine. Yeah. But like to me, it's like it's like a principles thing to me. It's like your work deserves hard money.
Mm-hmm.
You get it. Your work is fiated and it deserves fiat money, right? Like, which it's okay because most people are gonna be like, I want fiat anyways.
I mean, to be fair, video games are kind of a fiat thing.
It is. It's a time suck and all mm-hmm. that. And like, I'm not buying the video game from Kevin who made it. I'm buying it from Microsoft, the conglomerate.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, fuck you. You're gonna get fiat. You're not gonna be able to hold my Bitcoin on your balance sheet. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. But on the other hand, once again, people that work hard, even people that make like hand soaps and stuff like that, like that yeah. stuff is time consuming and tedious. Yeah. And I know there's value behind that. I'm gonna pay you in hard money mm-hmm. and I just want to not give you my hard money but convert this dirty fiat on the fly to give you the hard money,
right?
And I was able to do that when I first got here so religiously, and I don't know what the hell is happening with Strike. It's well documented on the show how I feel about Strike. It's just too inconsistent for me mm-hmm. to rely on it, because yeah. whenever I really want to do it, I can't do it. It just yeah. stops working, and their customer service has never been able to help me. And there was even one point, which I think I've brought up, where they actually gave me the Bitcoin and then followed up and was like, hey, man, you got to pay us back because this error happened here where we actually weren't even able to charge, even though the app said that you were charged. So it's like, look, it's hard to build apps. It's hard to scale apps.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be my 2024 little commitment. I'm not going to drag companies through the mud.
Yeah.
I get it. But I don't have to use you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where my stand is with Strike. It's right. like, I don't, you know, whatever, keep pushing, keep building. Maybe I come back one day. Fold is a good example of yeah. that. I always walk away from Fold, but keep building, keep doing, innovating, yeah. and I'll come back.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to drag these companies.
It's good that you're leaving the door open, you know, and you're.
I want it to win. I want them to win.
Of course. And me too. You know, like I say I'll turn my auto subscribe button off and everything. But like, really, like I said, I'm like two features away from flipping it back on. Like if you get. Right. You get some way for me to get Bitcoin into my Fold account and you get a lightning path out.
Yeah.
You got me.
You got me.
And also flip on Bitcoin, you know, trading in Texas so that I can, you know, push Bitcoin to fiat and buy Bitcoin. And
another yeah. thing that, and completely different size company, but another reason why I'm so like, I ain't going to use y'all is because there's actually a proof of living concept of reliability, and that's Cash App. I mean, they are a few features away as well from me being 100% in.
Mm-hmm.
But like, fam, I've never had a like funding request or spend or purchase or anything go wrong on Cash App.
Yeah,
I've never had a lightning I've never had a lightning transaction fail on Cash App, but they're very limited on their lightning implementation.
I was just going to say, I think with Cash App, I feel like once their debit card can spend from your Bitcoin balance,
they win.
That's it.
They win.
That's it.
Well, I hate to say win.
They already got the trading. They already got lightning in and out. They already got fiat in and out, electronic and physical.
Yep.
Because you can go to a store and deposit physical cash into your Cash App account. You don't need an ATM or ATM fees.
They got the real.
You know, they so really, you know, we've been staring at Fold and talking about Fold and Strike and everything, but really, like, this conversation missed the forest for the trees with Cash App until we finally got here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
because they've got like all of the pieces already there except just this one little thing. Like you can already, you know, sell your Bitcoin balance and then transfer it, I guess, to your debit card with Cash App in Texas. You can do lightning in and out. So, man, the only thing they don't have that Fold does is the rewards. You know, Fold goes ape on the rewards.
They don't got rewards.
They do. Sorry.
Right, but correct, they're not Bitcoin rewards.
Well, I think I've seen some sparsely and like few and far between.
And they'll give you Bitcoin
but
back.
But like in terms of categories or right. like, you right. know, certain ones get boosted higher. You know, they don't have as robust as a rewards situation that Fold does. And honestly, like that will win Fold over for, or that will win me over to Fold because I do enjoy getting something back for spending. And you mentioned Oshii earlier, and I wanted to bring this up. I really like that not only can you get, you know, Bitcoin back for your purchases with them, but then they want to, then they give you the ability to do the inverse. Oh, just give me a discount. I don't want rewards. Like, yeah, just yeah, make me nice. Pay less.
Yeah.
Like it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But for some people it works better. For some people it, you know, they prefer the, it's options, you know?
And I love that, you know, one company makes the other one innovate. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, I would like to say Cash App is like making Strike better, making Fold better just by existing.
Yes.
But Cash App absolutely needs to get more Lightning compatibility. I think it's like very restrictive on what type of invoices it receives,
yep,
or what it accepts. And you're right on the gift card thing. I want to throw something at you that I'm not a mathematical genius, but I was talking to somebody about this, meaning that I don't really break down stuff into percentages.
Oh, that's my jam. Let's go.
the rewards back that you get from Fold, uh-huh, on the purchases don't equate to doing something that what I do, which is basically just using my Apple card and buying Bitcoin with my return. Basically, I get 2-3% with my Apple card on everything, and on Fold, you might get 0.5%.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Apple's structure on their
2-3%
on their reward, but like two to three, do they just decide 3 or 2 or
three for certain vendors, like whoever's on their like accredited list or whatever. 2 for every single tap.
Minimum 2% floor.
No, 1 is the default, but I always tap, and it's guaranteed 2 for every tap. NFC payment.
I have never heard of increased rewards from just instead of a swipe, it's a tap.
Yeah. Tap 2% everywhere. Gas pumps.
That's fucking amazing. And yeah, you know why? Is because they're like, that's smart by Apple. Like, pro move. Like, that is not a checkmate move, but that is certainly a checking move. In that, like, a lot of people don't think about the chargeback situation, that, you know, there's a certain percentage of all credit card transactions that are fraud, and it never goes down every mm-hmm. year. Like, it only goes up, and, you know, merchants increasingly have to deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that Apple has taken that and gone, okay, like, we trust this tap to pay more because it's in your phone, your Apple phone, that we can monitor.
I never thought about that.
Right?
That could be.
And we know it's you that's yeah. doing this. So we have reduced risk that you are going to have fraudulent charges appear and have to have a whole situation that costs Apple money as well as the merchant that you spent at. And they're just turning around and they're rewarding you for just using your account in a safer way.
Mm. Operationally, that probably makes sense. I think the marketing term that they would probably do is they're just pushing Apple Pay. They want you to use the feature.
I don't disagree that they want people to use Apple Pay.
Well, like, that's what I mean. Absolutely. The marketing, like, they're not yeah. going to tell you that it's because of this whole industry of cashbacks.
Right? I got you.
Yeah.
They know it, but they're not saying it.
Right. The marketing way of saying that
I was like, because that definitely occurred to Apple. Definitely occurred.
Right.
To them.
But the marketing way is like, yeah, we got this really cool feature where you can just pull your phone out, and you can, especially with the COVID touchless bullshit that was going on. So, but yes, to break it down, there's certain vendors and certain stuff, like, you know, streaming services, whatever they have on their list, like you can buy Nike and stuff, 3% all the time.
Wow.
And then they 2% for any single tap, which I make a killing at the farmer's
market. So what about like online shopping? Is that the 1%? Because that's not a physical, I mean, that has to be the 1%.
Unless it's like a store.
Because that's where fraud comes in and they don't know it's on your phone.
Right. As you have to be able to NFC pay. And anything you, and this is where they loop back to themselves. I'm in the Apple ecosystem. Anything Apple you buy is 3%.
Oh.
So imagine buying an iPhone for $900, 3% on that, right? So like,
I got an Apple TV that's crapping out. I might need 3% back on that.
But even so you got 1-3% here, right? And then you have an individual like me that basically puts everything on their card and then just wipes it out whenever they get paid.
Yep.
So I go ahead and take that 3% and do one of two things. I switch back and forth. I get to $100, I buy Bitcoin. I get to $100, I buy a box of ammo. I get to $100, I buy Bitcoin. I get to $100, I buy a box of ammo.
Alternate. Love it.
Right. So, like, now, what's the incentive of me going to get 0.5, paying a membership to be part of Fold, just so I feel like I'm stacking stats? I'm stacking stats on Apple, too.
Yeah, for me, it was that PayPal stack hack was what kept me in.
See, I never used that.
And
that's why I'm biased.
And that would probably be the tipping point for you if that was available again. You could just get 1% on all your bills. Like, it was a magical time when I was getting 5% with fucking MoonPay and Strike. And
I remember that.
Yeah, man. I remember when you first told me about that. I was like,
that's a killer feature, like, bro.
How am I getting $20 a month free in Bitcoin? What the fuck?
Yeah, just for knowing the technology. Yeah. But it, you know, once again, even in that example, like I pay my bills with my Apple card is 1%.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm getting 1% on Fold,
yeah.
I am, but I'm also paying a membership to be a part of Fold.
I do something similar. Well, not really similar because I'm not buying Bitcoin or anything. I just use my cashback rewards to offset my credit card bill.
Sure.
And, you know, whatever Bitcoin purchase I make is whatever I make.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not as much of a daily stacker anymore, but that does not mean that I have stopped buying Bitcoin.
My point is, I see this is where like Fold gets further. Like, I don't really care too much about the rewards back on like Amazon and stuff like that because I'm actually paying entry. Because if you want the really cool perks, you need to pay, and
$150 to get into Amazon,
And my return on my Apple card is better, right?
And oh, are you talking about Amazon credit card? Or are you talking
not talking about Amazon? If you're a plus spin member on Fold, you get like a 5%.
Oh, the boost on the Amazon gift cards.
You get better ones. Right? But it's like, but I also got to pay the full membership to get that boost. On my Apple card, I get it regardless, if that makes sense.
Yes.
The only difference would be there is maybe I lose some on the fees on conversion. Like if I go and move over to Cash App and buy it on Cash App, then I got to pay some fees.
Well, and then also if the Bitcoin price doubles in a month, you know, you...
And the spread, I got if because I'm converting fiat, right? So and then we're Fold is like direct. Yeah. But like my point is that like... not the Fold features we spoke about, which is like the instant, the new features. Like I'm interested in that, but I'm not interested whatsoever on the rewards back because at the end of the day, I think it probably breaks even with your membership.
I think they will probably continue their sort of journey of like recognizing that there are two distinct groups that they serve. One that likes the consistency of just and simplicity and doesn't want to mess with the gamification of it all.
Yeah.
And then you've got your, you know, you've got your people that like the wheel. They've got they like getting the boosts and the multipliers and the flash sale and, you know, all this stuff.
Dopamine
to just,
shit.
Give me the dopamine rush. I want to go shopping.
Listen, they can keep me on that, but you can't charge me to be on that.
Right. And so that leads me to my point of they're going to need, I think, you know, prediction. They're going to need to cut the pie in half and make a decision about what they feel is good for a minimum amount for that class of people that want to be in that bucket, that want to put themselves in that bucket, and then, you know, what to do about the people who love the shiny lights, you know, and flashy things. And I think if they don't and they just continue doing, you know, kind of what they're doing, then that leaves room for a competitor to come in and offer that simplicity. And maybe in the beginning, they use that VC funding to, you know, outcompete on the rewards. And they you know, they suck in market share of that group. And then over time, maybe they have to reduce it a little bit. And then they're kind of like neck and neck or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, the people who like simplicity and stuff and just don't want to think about it and worry about it, I feel like those are in greater number because of how many other things that we have to worry about on a daily basis just existing.
Yeah.
That and that's only going to increase until we all get on a Bitcoin standard and everyone stops running in the hamster wheels. Yeah. But anyways, so that's kind of how I see the future there. I think that there's still a lot in, you know, Bitcoin rewards, card accounts and things, you know, where you're using fiat to spend or Bitcoin to spend. And, you know, there's still some more innovation to be had there, even though there are, you know, a bunch of companies playing in that space.
Got to become a bank, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, you got to offer financial services.
All these companies are like partnered with banks, right? It's just something usually is the way to go. Yeah. But like, I think that the reason Cash App is the behemoth in the room is because they're a bank.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know the details, and it's probably beyond our league to even talk about it. Maybe not yours, but definitely mine's. There's a difference between partnering with a bank and being a bank.
Oh, very big difference.
Yeah. So like Cash App will always be the behemoth because they playing the whole chessboard on by themselves.
They own the chessboard.
Exactly. You know, right. So
you're renting your square from them on the chessboard.
So yeah, it's very interesting. But yeah, I think whoever, and we're probably just beating around the same fucking point, but be Cash App, I guess is the point, because the fact of the matter is I want a place where my fiat, while fiat still exists, plays hand in hand with my Bitcoin with the least friction possible. And I think Cash App has mastered that.
Yeah.
They just have. And because it's probably because they're a bank.
Can't wait to see what they do next, man. Yeah. Every time earnings reports come out, I'm like, what is Block doing? You know,
they're killing it, man. They're selling.
They're selling Bitcoin. They're buying Bitcoin. They're doing all kinds of stuff. Last couple of things here.
Let's breeze through them real quick. I do want to give an update on the show for the folks.
Yeah. This will be quick. Just a note. There's that dude out there with the man bun who keeps shorting Bitcoin. I just think it's hilarious.
I don't know about this man bun guy.
Dude, there's so many videos and stuff. I think
man buns are just funny, period.
I had one for a minute. I have hair down halfway down my back for a while.
I've never seen it in a bun, though.
I'm kind of liberal with my use of that phrase, so it's probably also incorrect.
Oh, I thought you meant like a bun. Like, you wrapped it up like as a bun.
Nah.
That's a man
not
bun.
Like, yeah, I guess not. Not like this dude did it. I never did it like that.
Okay,
I never did it like, number so one. I never took the time to figure out how to do it.
That's true. A bun is complicated.
And so anyways, I just ended up with like a, what do they call it? A founding father's ponytail where you just like do a real low in the back. Anyways, my hair is not important. I got it cut, so it doesn't even matter. This dude he keeps piling into his shorts as the price goes up. And he keeps coming out and making these videos about it. I think he's just lying personally by this point. But, you know, show me the receipts, prove me wrong. I don't care, really. I just think it's hilarious that you see this thing going parabolic and your instinct is, oh, I'm going to short it. And, ETFs be damned. He's just doesn't care.
Yeah, he might be cloud chasing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's no reason for that. And then lastly.
I missed the man bun guy.
You know, you ain't missing much, honestly. It's
sounds like a bear or a freak bear.
He is a bear. Yeah. Hopefully he's not leading too many lemmings off the cliff with his following. But and this last one, man, this one we could probably make a whole episode out of, but I guess we'll try to keep it short. But this guy talks finance on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's just the latest flavor of the week to come out and say, oh, you Bitcoiners are just disingenuous. You're just going to sell your Bitcoin. You're not real. You're here for anything other than your fiat wealth and fiat gains. And, you just look in the replies and it's filled with, the usual people on Twitter just telling them like, no, dude, like we're never selling because like, why would we sell into something that just becomes worthless within,
100%.
X time versus this asset that I have that just keeps, appreciating in value over and over and over again every single year.
Yeah.
It's seemingly unstoppable. And, it has yet to really, I think, saturate, the market and come to some kind of a top or something. It's obviously ripping hard. And this is just the beginning. We've seen just billions of dollars flowing in every day. So
he's getting famous for.
He's farming the engagement. This is 85,000 views on this one tweet. Bitcoin bros, what's your end game? Once you make millions in an asset that's not considered a legal tender in the United States, what's your plan? I'm willing to bet most people will sell once they reach a substantial amount of money. And that last sentence, everybody does that.
Yeah.
You got to pay bills. You want to buy things that you enjoy. But that doesn't mean that we're going to sit here and liquidate the whole stack and just say, oh, now I got $1 million or whatever. And it's like, great, you got $1 million. You got to turn that million into 2 million next year. You're screwed.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit, back to Bitcoin.
I've seen that sentiment around another dude. I'm paraphrasing, but he was along the lines of like, oh, price is going up. Richer people about to rug the bros, the Bitcoin bros. Listen, man, this actually goes contrary to what we started this episode with, which is all-time high, because I've had this conversation a ton this week, which is, as I always forget how Parker puts it, if it's output or input, but the price to me is just simply output, because $70,000 all-time high for, basically $70,000 doesn't mean jack shit to me because I don't want to trade for that $70,000 or any part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that we know very close always told me that everybody just cares about the price. I personally have that on the bottom of my stack. I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't care about price. We all care about security. Mm-hmm. We all care about being able to, like you said, pay bills down the road and prepare for our future. What I'm saying is that if there's a top five of things that I care about in Bitcoin, the fiat price is very low. Last on that stack, never mind, very low. So although, everybody's jumping around for 70K an all-time high, and so am I, and it feels good, and it's just an output to know that we're right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an output for us to go and get Lamborghinis.
It's a directional indicator.
Right. So that's all the market is telling me. When the number goes up, it just tells me that I'm more and more correct mm-hmm. on the decisions that I'm making in my life.
Yeah.
This is actually a really good segue to like where I want this show to go. And it's basically because of that ability to get that signal from the market to tell me that I'm making better and better decisions in my life. I want this show to be adjacent to those better decisions in life, adjacent to Bitcoin, basically. Because just because I started making good decisions about my money, that has allowed me to make a ton of better decisions about every other aspect of my life. And I come here from this hiatus that we took much lighter, right? Weight-wise, much healthier, much more focused, much, you know, and money-wise, much more lucrative, much more, right? Like, it's much more intensity. And all these things have happened because I figured out that the money was broke.
You look good, dude.
Thank you, man.
You're looking good.
I appreciate it. And this is what I kind of always wanted this show to be, but like I really want you and I to emphasize on. Like, look, there's a gazillion Bitcoin podcasts out there. And although this episode itself was a Bitcoin-heavy episode, and there mm-hmm. will be Bitcoin-heavy episodes, we got a lot more shit to talk about, especially as fathers, especially mm-hmm. as leaders of families and men that kind of spill off of Bitcoin, but they're not about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And I challenge the listener to show up every single week with an open mind. I challenge you as my co-host to come in with open-minded topics. We could always talk about Bitcoin, but this space has a lot of voices. This space has a lot of people talking about stuff, and maybe even arguably people that know way more than we do mm-hmm. about Bitcoin itself. So I want the listeners to know that Talking in Bits is back. And Talking in Bits will always have a spot for Bitcoin. And we work in Bitcoin, for Christ's sake. So we always have that thing. But I'm going to challenge myself. I challenge you, Kevin, to basically come in here and actually give a lot more signal than just necessarily Bitcoin. Now, it could be Bitcoin who spawned the decision or spawned the thought or led you down that rabbit hole or whatever. But once again, we're fathers, right? We're men. And we're building the future of financial services. So we're leaders in every sense of the word and the imagination. And I don't want to come here and waste any listener's time by just repeating Stefan Levera, right. Repeating, you know, whoever the faces are.
TFTC,
out there.
You name it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think we get much more valuable time out of this ourselves, like just having these conversations, you and I. But I think the listener will ultimately get more value out of Talking in Bits
yeah.
by being plugged into Bitcoin. We literally sit in the Mecca. Right. But also understanding that once you figure out that the money's broke, you're disconnected from the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
You're free.
Yeah.
And freedom comes with a lot of different responsibilities, a lot of sovereignty, and a lot of decisions that you need to make. If you're a man and you're listening to this, then as a man. And if you're a woman, you also have your responsibility as well. Don't get it twisted. It's not the same one as a man. I'm not going to sit here and say that. But I know we got female listeners, and female listeners also have a place here. So I leave the show with that. We want to deliver much more content. We're going to pick a cadence that actually works for Kevin and I so that we don't leave a hiatus for y'all, because we don't like to leave the listener hanging. We love y'all. We appreciate that you support the show. We appreciate that you listen. But I want to give you much more value than just repeating the same talk mm-hmm. about the same stuff that you know.
Challenge accepted.
Appreciate you. Leave a comment down below. Let us know if there's something that you specifically want us to cover. And Bitcoin is not out of the question. I want to make that clear. We live in the Mecca. We work in the Mecca. We build in the Mecca. But yeah, over the past hiatus, what I've been thinking about is boy, has Bitcoin empowered me to make powerful decisions in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that these systems that lie out here are literally designed to lead us to death, to lead us to be weak, to lead us to be imprisoned. I found that out once I figured out the money was broke and once I figured out that Bitcoin is the life raft, right, to that. But it applies to health. It applies to education. It applies mm-hmm. to the state of the world. It's dangerous out here. I don't want to be morbid. It's dangerous out here.
This is literally one of the most dangerous times to be in Austin right now.
Absolutely. It's extremely...
Southwest.
Anywhere in the world. Yeah, you're right. It's about to go crazy. But like anywhere in the United States right now, understand that there is a lot of... The key word of the day for me and you is doofiness. There's a lot of doofiness going on in this country right now. I want y'all to be safe. I want y'all to be informed. And I want that for everybody else that's around me that I care about. So our conversations would definitely delve more towards useful information that either we've just learned or that we're interested in, and hopefully we have the guests that can talk about those things as well.
Talking Bits is back to help everyone be a little less doofy.
Let's go. We back.
We back.
All right. We'll catch y'all next time. Thanks for tuning in.
See ya.